Okay, thanks for the opportunity to speak in this session. It's good to follow up with Joe. I'm going to reinforce a number of concepts that he already mentioned here. So the title of my talk is corn soybean really the most economic crop rotation for farmers? And if you look at farmer behavior, as Joe indicated here, farmer behavior would suggest absolutely it's the most profitable crop, simply on the basis of that's what they have adopted. This is a slide looking at acreages of soybean, winter wheat, and various other crops, and corn. Soybean is the orange top bar, corn is the blue bottom bar, and you can see that between corn and soybean, we have those two crops predominating the landscape, and it's becoming much more common. And this is, like Joe indicated, not unique to Ontario. If you look at Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan, the hatched bar is soybean, the clear bar is corn. You can see again, as Joe mentioned, that corn and soybeans is absolutely dominating the landscape. And so the purpose of my talk is to really look at the tension between the environmental impacts and profitability as perceived by growers. This is just a page from our Ontario Farmer paper that is very common in Ontario as an outreach extension tool to producers. And the title is Everybody's Talking About Soil Health. And in this particular article, they interviewed a number of extension reps in the province. And the one I wanted to highlight was a comment made by Russ Barker, CCA, in Ontario. And the first line is, I may not be able to define exactly what soil health should be, but I can tell you what it is not. It is not found on farms that for the last 25 years have had a history of 50% or more soybeans grown in the rotation. But these farms have been profitable for owners. And there's the rub, right? You've got this environmental concern that is of growing prevalence going against farmers' perception or the reality that this corn-soybean rotation is in fact the most profitable. So in this talk, I wanted to look at that question. Is it in fact most profitable? This is a slide of the Laura Research Station. It's 2,500 acres, silt loam soil, about 900 millimeters of annual rainfall, 2,700 to 2,800 corn heat units. At that location, we've got a long-term rotation trial, and I wanted to use that trial specifically to look at the yield and do some pseudo-economic analysis and try to mimic to a certain extent the discussion that we have with producers in Ontario, trying to convince them to keep, in our case, winter wheat in that rotation or add it as a third crop. So the Allura long-term rotation consists of corn, soybean, alfalfa, barley, wheat. It was initiated in 1980. You can see here that we've got a number of four-year rotations. Our most simple rotation is a corn, corn, soy, soy, other than, of course, continuous corn. But we've got corn, corn, soy, wheat, corn, corn, soy, wheat, red clover, and then a number of rotations with oats and barley with and without red clover. And then each plot is split, also conventional till and into no-till. And certainly with this trial, we can demonstrate very clearly, and we've published numerous papers looking at the soil health concerns with corn, corn, soy, soy. We've looked at nitrogen requirement differences and the fact that rotation requires more nitrogen. We've looked at a number of different factors, and basically the list of concerns with that rotation is very long. But again, it is perceived as the most profitable rotation for producers. And so I'd like to look at that a bit more closely. So in terms of yield, just quickly looking at that, because again, yield largely drives the economics. This is first year corn yield from 1982 to 2013. I don't include the last number of years because we're just completing the last four-year cycle. The blue bars are moldboard plow. The red bars are reduced tillage no-till. And the first set of bars is corn, corn, soy, soy. You can see here under moldboard plow, we get a reduction in first-year corn yield. Numerically, the other treatments tend to be higher than first-year corn yield under a corn-corn-soy-soy, but the only one statistically different is our corn-corn-soy-wheat-red-clover. Under no-till, the corn yield is reduced under continuous corn compared to corn-corn-soy-soy, and then under all other rotations, we see an increase of first-year corn yields relative to corn-corn-soy-soy. Second-year corn yield follows a fairly similar pattern, except that corn-corn-soy-soy is numerically lower than all other rotations, and with most rotations being significantly higher in second-year corn yields. First-year soybean yield, moldboard plow and no-till in both cases are more complex rotations, provide a higher soybean yield than under corn, corn, soy, soy. This is probably the slide when we present it to producers that is most surprising to them. Most producers are aware of the fact that you follow corn after wheat versus corn after corn and you see a yield increase, but it's the magnitude of the soybean benefit by addition of wheat that surprises most of our growers. Here we've got over a 30 some odd year period, we've got a magnitude of 13 to 14% soybean yield benefit just by the addition of wheat in the rotation. And this is not a unique finding. We've got other trials in Ontario, including the one by David Hooker down at Richtown, that shows the exact same magnitude. And so this often surprises producers, the magnitude of that benefit. Now obviously that magnitude changes, the rotation benefit changes with rotation cycle, and as I'll mention in a few slides, similar to what Joe was saying, is that there tends to be this increase in rotation effect that we're observing over time, but I'll mention that a little bit more closely later. This slide was first year corn yields, first year soybean yields, and again you can see that over time that rotation effect appears to be increasing as we have wheat or wheat red clover in the rotation. Okay, so I did want to do and spend most of the time talking about sort of a pseudo-economic analysis here. We did this analysis back in 2006 and published it, Meyer Arik et al. In the Agronomy Journal, and we wanted to update that analysis. And so for our assumptions, first of all, we went to the 2017 field crop budgets. And the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food, our provincial agency, puts out a complete set of field crop budgets. This formed the starting point for coming up with input costs for our analysis. And you can see here, and you can't see the detail, but this is for grain corn. You can see it's quite detailed. It breaks it down into conventional corn, non-GMO, conventional, no-till. The breakdown's quite detailed. In terms of assumptions continuing on, like I said, we use input costs from our 2017 field crop budgets. P&K rate was assumed to be crop removal. We thought that was the most reasonable assumption, and there we went to the agronomy guide for field crops that has a listing of P&K concentrations for the various crop types. Winter wheat N rate was based on actual N rate applied each year. We estimated the corn N rate based on the yield average for each rotation, the previous crop N credit, and the nitrogen corn price ratio of 6.49. Having said that, under the actual management of the trial, each year we apply 180 kilos N per hectare, but we figured for the economic analysis here, we would factor in a nitrogen credit based on previous crop. And these nitrogen credits are taken, again, from the general recommendations put out by OMAFRA in Ontario, which is largely based on the Ontario Nitrogen Database that has been generated in the province. NP and K costs were taken from a crop input survey done by Ken McEwen at Ridgetown each year. In fact, he looks at input costs in Ontario versus various states in the U.S. Several times per year, and we took the costs over the 2013 to 2017 period and adjusted all those costs to 2017 dollars. Crop price was from OMAFRA Field Crop Statistics 2012 to 2015, adjusted to 2017 prices. We assume that straw is being removed and sold. The yield we estimated at 5,900 kilos per hectare, which I believe is actually high, but that is what is estimated, again, in some of the OMAFRA statistics. We use that, even though I believe that's high. Our price was 7 cents per kilo, and then we removed P&K costs. We accounted for P&K removal costs. And then, like I said, all costs and prices adjusted to 2017 Canadian dollars. So if we take all those assumptions, apply it to our yield data, and actually I'll skip over this. This is just showing the range of costs for the various systems. And I should mention that basically all costs are included except land costs. Okay, so land costs are not factored into this. So when we look at the dollar per hectare return for each rotation cycle for moldboard plow and for reduced till, no-till, the black bar is corn, corn, soy, soy, green bar is corn, corn, soy, wheat, the orange bar is corn, corn, soy, wheat, red clover. And based on our assumptions, okay, certainly under moldboard plow, the more diverse rotation is showing a higher net return than our corn, corn, soy, soy rotation. Under reduced till, no-till, same trend, and in fact, overall, there's a higher profitability associated with our reduced till, no-till. If I take just the average revenue by rotation across all cycles, this is what I come up with. Corn, corn, soy, soy, under our conventional till system has an average return for the four-year cycle of $2,137. Corn, corn, soy, wheat, $2,744. Corn, corn, soy, wheat, red clover, $2,980. And on average reduced tillage, the rankings are the same, but overall returns are slightly higher. Okay, so if I look at that, if I look at the corn, corn, soy, wheat, red clover compared to the corn, corn, soy, soy, I have a $843 per hectare greater net return for moldboard plow system. Okay, present that to growers, and they'll always say, yes, but. And so we've got to address the buts to that analysis. The first but is not everyone can sell straw. And I accept that's the case. We encourage farmers, when possible, absolutely to sell straw. So if you can't sell straw, we don't have to worry about the P&K removal cost, but we don't get that revenue. And so that sets us back at $350 per hectare. Yes, but not everybody can get red clover to establish consistently and uniformly. And if you cannot get it to establish, then you've got to back out the end credit, right? You've got to back out the soybean yield increase that we're observing. You've got to back out the corn yield increase that we're observing. Now, I would argue that you may not get red clover to establish every year, but it doesn't fail every year either, okay? But I'm assuming here fails every year, and so we've got to back those out. The other argument you always hear is that a shorter season soybean is required in order to incorporate wheat into the rotation. And that's probably true. I'm not convinced that it's as big a deal in our short season region as they make it out to be. But typically, farmers will say, if I grow a longer season soybean, my yield is approximately 5% more. If I grow a short season bean, I lose 5%. So we're looking at about a $60 per hectare loss simply by the fact that we've got to include a shorter season soybean as opposed to the grower that's going corn, soy, corn, soy. The other argument is that corn, soy is not the same as corn, soy. And that's fair, right? In our rotations, in all cases, we've got first year corn, second year corn, so they're all the same. We don't worry about that. But but the problem with our corn, soy system is we've got first year soybean and also second year soybean. And that second year soybean is in fact yielding on average about 13% less than that first year soybean. And we've really not factored that in. If you're in a corn, soy, you don't get that 13% yield reduction. Having said that, that first year soybean is not really corn, soy. It's soybean 3 years after soybean has been grown. And so I'm giving it about a 10% yield penalty, the fact that we're in a corn, soy, not corn, soy. And so if I add all that up, I'm looking at reducing it by $688. And that's, again, assuming no straw sales, no red clover credit. So if I look at it, that corn, soy, wheat, red clover net return is only $155 greater than corn, soy. It's still greater, even with those assumptions, but the margin is very close. But there's another list of issues that we have to address here. The first issue is that there are other cover crops than red clover, and there's growing evidence that some of these other cover crops also provide an economic benefit. I don't know how to put a dollar figure to that, but we know there's a dollar figure associated with it. We know that there's grazing and forage opportunities of cover crops. We've done a fair amount of work looking at cover crops after winter wheat for forage purposes, and we can consistently achieve 6-7 tons per hectare of biomass in our cover crops. And even at a net of 2-3 cents a pound, which is the way we sell it, it starts adding up. Again, not everybody has that market, but it is there. We do know that herbicide resistance management is improved. Again, I can't quantify it, but we know it's very real. And many producers and our wheat scientists are saying that rotation matters when it comes to managing resistance. We do know that if you're going to sell crop residues, you can sell crop residues much more sustainably from a complex rotation than you can from a simple rotation. Again, I can't put a dollar figure on it, but I know it's a positive attribute. As Joe mentioned, we do know that complex rotation enables reduced till and no-till. And that's been well documented in the literature, and it's been documented in our trials. Under the corn, soy, wheat, that rotation, the tillage benefit is, I forget exactly what it is, I think it's $140. The tillage benefit under corn, soy, wheat, red clover is something like $300. So I'm saying here that by enabling reduced till, no-till, we claw back perhaps $175, pulling a number a bit out of the air here. The other comment, and this goes to what Joe mentioned as well, is that I'm using average rotation effects, but that underestimates benefit. If I look at when wheat red clover is included in the rotation, first year corn yield increases at a faster rate, so that rotation benefit is improving. First year soybean yield is increasing at a faster rate. Second year corn yields increase at a faster rate. And so I'm not convinced that using an average effect, as we often do, does justice to this discussion. Future rotation benefits for corn may be much larger, okay, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. Oops. And then there's increased potential for environmental services payments. I'm still of the mindset that there's many stakeholders in this rotation complexity discussion. At some point, I would like to see those stakeholders come to the table and incentivize this this increase in complexity. But these last three points, I just want to show a couple slides before I wrap up here to talk about this. So this is corn and soybean yield in 2016. And again, you maybe can't see it too well from the back, but to summarize here, 2016 in Ontario was quite a dry year. Soybean rotation effect was around that 13% amount still. But if we look at corn, corn, soy, soy versus these two rotations, under moldboard plow in that dry year, we had a rotation benefit of 7.5%, and under reduced till, no-till, we had a rotation benefit of 18%. 2012 was another dry year. Rotation benefits were of the same magnitude. My analysis assumed a rotation benefit to corn of about 2, 3, 4%. And so it begs this question of, you know, does the average reflect what we're currently experiencing and going to experience in the future? And I would say that certainly over the last 5 years, the average has not been reflective. And if we incorporated these rotation values into our analysis, corn, corn, soy, wheat would win hands down. And this is consistent with some work we did a couple of years ago where we demonstrated quite conclusively that the rotation effect is much greater, particularly under hot, dry conditions. This is some work we recently did where we took that long-term rotation data and modeled it using DNDC. And we were able to use DNDC to compare corn yield under a simple rotation versus corn yield under more complex rotation. But what's interesting about this slide is we took one of the scenarios of IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and we projected what is going to be the corn yield 40, 60, 80, 100 years out. And basically what we're seeing here, the gray bar is corn, corn, soy, soy. This is corn, corn, soy, wheat, corn, corn, soy, wheat, red clover. We see a rotation benefit 2016 to 2014 in the magnitude of 10-15%, not unlike the 2012-2016 numbers we've seen. And if we project into the future, that that corn yield under the simple rotation largely plateaus, according to this analysis. Under the more complex rotation, corn yields keep going up, so the rotation effect we're predicting is going to increase into the future. Second last slide here, environmental benefits and environmental services. This is the most common system, corn, soy, here. We like to promote no-till, but the fact is there's a pressure to introduce tillage into this system, okay? I don't see farmers getting paid environmental services to produce a soil that under a slaking test causes this amount of breakdown versus a complex rotation with a cover crop, with no-till. You know, if we're going to see farmers get paid for environmental services, it is much more likely going to occur under that complex rotation where we've got good soil health, and we know that that soil health is associated with many of the environmental services we're looking for. So in conclusion, is corn soybean really the most economic rotation for farmers? In Ontario, I think perhaps it was in the past. It's hard to argue with the majority of farmers moving in that direction. I think it's unlikely in the currently, certainly over the last 5 years. No doubt in my mind that the more complex rotations have been more profitable. Doubtful it will be in the future. Just like to wrap up and acknowledge Anna Chimeras, a undergrad that did a lot of work pulling some of this data together, and Ken Genovic for his analysis. With that, I'll wrap it up. I don't know if we've got time for questions.
One quick question.
One quick question. No questions? Craig?
Yeah, just a quick question with your wheat straw removal.
Yep.
We
actually remove wheat straw in our studies at Elora, yes.
Have you ever compared?
We've not compared. Yeah. Yeah, our recommendation to growers is if it selling wheat straw makes the rotation profitable, sell wheat straw, because corn soy wheat with wheat straw removed is always still better than corn soy in terms of soil health.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.